The gospel this morning comes from Romans chapter 13 and continues to chapter 14, 12. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this one sentence: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. As for the man who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not for disputes over opinions. One believes he may eat anything, while the weak man eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who abstains, and let not him who abstains pass judgment on him who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the master is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day as better than another, while another man esteems all days alike. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. He who eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while he who abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So each of us shall give account of himself to God. The word of God for the people of God.
Another great passage from Romans today. Paul gives us a wonderful example today in the scriptures that leads us from last week's passage in Romans 12. Last week we talked about the gifts that we all have and employing those gifts for God as a living sacrifice. Today we see that all of these gifts should be employed in the love of neighbor. We have to discern what that means. I met a new neighbor the other day. He's across the street right now at the well, and his name is Joel, and he's the pastor there. And one of the great joys of the ministry is sharing that life together with other pastors. Well, Joel and I needed to be saved from bad coffee. I don't know if we're good people, but we did need to be saved from bad coffee. So we went to Ozo's and got a cup of the dark roast. And as we sipped our coffee, I think he drank it black. I had to put a little cream in mine because it was so stout. But we talked about life in ministry. And we had a sense of loving each other as neighbors. And, you know, there could be competition there between two pastors across the street, but there wasn't. There was just this feeling of that each of us needed the other. I need a colleague in ministry, and he's right there. He needs me, and I'm right here. We began to discover that the love of neighbor is not always something that you go and do. It's something that a gift God gives you. And that all of our gifts can be seen that way. Because our gifts are not given to us to keep. I think it's a simple truth. There's some common sense wisdom in this. Anyway, Joel and I talked for a while, and then he looked at me and he said, what I think is a really important question, he said, what's the gospel? We're called to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? And I repeated to him something my father told me once when I was commissioned a few years ago. And my father said, son, the gospel is something a little child can understand. And if it ever gets beyond that, check to see how much of it you're inventing for your own sake. And I said that to Joel, and so I said, you know, the gospel in its most basic form, I think, is what Mary told the disciples the day she saw Jesus. She goes to the disciples on that Sunday morning and she says, I have seen him. He's alive. I've seen the Lord. That's the gospel. Jesus is alive. This one who was put on this instrument of torture and execution, the cross. This one who was buried in the ground. I have seen him. He spoke to me. I touched him. I felt his breath on my face as he called my name. He's alive. In other words, folks, death is overcome, present tense. Not will be someday, is now overcome, has been overcome. Since that moment when from a horizontal position, Jesus laid out in the tomb, takes again the name of God into his lungs and onto his lips. Since that moment, when the crucified one is resurrected, death is overcome. Will you pray with me? God of abundant life and generous grace, by whose word and breath all things exist, guide us back through Paul's words to the volcanic vision of the resurrected Son. Blaze in our hearts once more with the good news of death undone, that the armor of light might cover us head to toe, O God. Burn away the dross of worldly things. Melt away all our sadness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You've all seen it, right? This crack on the horizon where the night is just coming to an end. And there's this line of gray. It's not yet dawn. But the day is dawning. We've all seen this, right? Some morning when we had to be at work early. Some morning when the kids were up and we had to get up. Some morning when we were so worried about part of our life that we were sleepless. And so we wander to the window just before daybreak, and you see it in the east. A thin veneer of gray trickling along the bottom of the night sky. and you know with no doubt at all what's about to happen. You know with utter certainty, that the night is far gone and that the day is near. Friends, do we take with the same certainty the implications of Jesus' first breath in the tomb? Let's relive it again. Can you see him lying down? Dead. Unmoving. And then the Spirit comes. That's the crack of gray light at the bottom of the night sky that forever heralds the coming day. That's what time in history it is. In the whole history of the creation, what time is it? At what point are we? We are at the point when the night is far gone, when the day in fact is near. The resurrection of Jesus should bring us to such a degree of certainty that all the travails of life fall away and all of our petty squabbles fall away. I love this passage in Romans. So what does this message of the good news have to do with Paul's message? He's basically saying to us, you fight over dumb stuff. And even the stuff that's really high stakes is not as high stakes as the resurrection of Jesus. So he gives us this common wisdom. One man esteems one day as better than the other, while another man esteems all days alike. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. Do everything you do to the Lord, for the Lord, because of the Lord. When you redid the cafe out here, how much hemming and hawing was there about whether it should be green or yellow or pink or blue? And who did the design and who decided who got to do the design? I was once in a Baptist church where the church had split in half because one church wanted to put the piano on this side of the room and the other church wanted to put the piano on this side of the room, and the lady that bought the piano put her foot down and everybody else left. Is that the kingdom of God? Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. No, this is not the kingdom of God. And we must remember this in all that we do. This moment of new breath where Christ stands up again in the power of new life, this is the context for everything we do. In a sleepless night, a night filled with thoughts, bad dreams, sickness, who knows what. While the night is here, would you ever take your eye off of that horizon? Would you ever forget about the coming day? No. As the day dawns, you cling to it. We must cling to the good news. The good news that death is undone. The dawning is a sign of hope. In fact, this message of death undone is precisely what Paul means by the armor of light. What does this mean in his text when he says, put away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light? What's the armor of light? What is it that defends us against all the darkness of the world, with which we combat the darkness of the world, with which we stand in the face of death and say, where is thy victory? Where is your sting? That armor is this message of the resurrection. It's the message that Mary said to the disciples and that we must repeat to each other week after week, and that we must repeat in our homes, in our places of work, that we must repeat at the barber shop, at the hospital. I have seen the Lord. There's light on the horizon. Death is no more. This is the armor of light. That message should always be in our minds. Death is undone. I have seen the Lord. Christ is alive. This should be the mantra that we repeat to ourselves day in and day out, over and over and again, in the face of every obstacle. Death is no more. For how else shall we tackle what's in front of us, dear friends? There's so much in front of us, too. The news of the past week baffles me, saddens me, makes me wonder which country I live in. What does it mean that in 2017, a person can walk down a street waving a Nazi flag? What does it mean? It means that now is the time for the body of Christ to pronounce the gospel. It means that now is the time for the body of Christ to do what Jesus says, to do what Paul reminds us of, and love our neighbors as ourselves. For the one who loves his neighbor as himself does no harm to another. This is embedded in our DNA too as Wesleyans. John Wesley had a rule: do no harm. You want to learn how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do no harm. Start there. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. So, the love of neighbor fulfills the law. The armor of light is the truth that Christ has raised. This news is the context for our lives. And in complete confidence then, remember that we all know that when we see the dawn, the sun's coming up. We never doubt this in our daily life. Why do we doubt it in our spiritual lives? In complete confidence then, we become the living sacrifice that Paul talked about last week, which is our spiritual worship. And if it's a sacrifice, friends, it's forever. A sacrifice can't be taken back. Who here has dedicated their lives to God? Who here has professed their faith? All of us. Or we wouldn't be sitting here. A sacrifice is forever. In complete confidence, then, we become a living sacrifice. And just as the twilight heralds the day, so the resurrection of Jesus heralds the salvation of the righteous. And we know who the righteous are. It's not hard to spot. The righteous are the ones who love their neighbors as themselves. That's who they are. Doesn't matter what creed you profess. Doesn't matter what church in Ionia you go to. Doesn't matter if you go to church. Because it is not the hearers of the word who will be justified, but the doers of the word. That's scripture too. It will not be the hearers of the word who are justified in God's sight, but the doers of the word who will be justified. Who then are the righteous? The righteous are the ones who love their neighbors as themselves. It's common sense. God has a wonderful common sense. And people will say, oh no, you must profess Christ. You must believe with your heart and profess with your lips that Jesus is the Son of God, or else you're going to hell. Apparently it's not as simple as that. For it is not the hearers of the word who will be justified, but those who do it. Who then are the righteous? Those who love their neighbors as themselves. Who then are the people of God? Those who love their neighbors as themselves. Owe no one anything, 13 verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Everything we have already belongs to God. We don't owe it to anyone else. Everything we have, everything we are, all our gifts, all our power, all our strength, all our talent, all our time, it already belongs to God for the simple reason that God gave it to us. So owe no one anything except love. And we owe love to every person. Every person. Paul tells us to live in the light. Live in the light. For the night is far gone, and the day is near. Live in the light. There's an interesting word right here at the end of this passage. And he says it several times throughout, but it's the punchline of today's word. For we all will be accountable to God. So, we don't come to church to find out who's being a goody two-shoes and who's not. For we're all accountable to God. And when the day has fully dawned, and Christ comes back in final victory, we see this in Philippians 2. Paul says the same thing. Therefore God highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Christ came the first time in a manger. An inauspicious beginning, one might say. When Christ comes again, there will be no doubt about who he is. He will be fully revealed. He will come like the sun in the morning, bursting through the clouds. And each one of us will be accountable. So let's live as those who already stand in the light, even though there's just a crack on the horizon, even though the signs of day have just begun. Let's live as though it was high noon. Do everything we do as though the day has fully dawned, so that when we stand before the one who is righteous, Jesus Christ, when we stand and we have a private one-on-one with him, he can say to us, I see your sin, but I understand it in the context of your brokenness, and I also see how much you strived to love your neighbor as yourself, to the honor and glory of my name. I see that too. Welcome home. We don't obey the gospel. We don't obey the commandments of Christ so we can get into heaven. We obey the commandments of Christ so that everyone else will know about heaven. It's not whether we're saved, but whether we're willing to share that gift with everyone. We need to. We must. In a very practical sense, this is going to shape our life together. I've been here 2 months. What have we got done? I don't know. But I hope to be here many, many years. What will shape our life together? What will shape the vision that we will cast for mission and ministry? It must be this, that the one who was dead isn't dead anymore. And the day has dawned. Thanks be to God.